Governor Herbert addresses public lands, air quality, and John Swallow at his monthly news conference. The state is seeking nominations for a recently vacated state school board seat, and you could be getting a rebate check from your health insurance company. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Friday, June 21st. I'm Brian Grimmett.
Utah's governor does much like the idea of creating a Greater Canyonlands National Monument covering 1.4 million acres of public land in southern Utah. Environmental groups, though, are asking President Obama to use the Federal Antiquities Act to set aside that public land surrounding Canyonlands National Park and on both sides of the Colorado River. Governor Gary Herbert told his monthly news conference on KUED he thinks there are better ways to protect public land.
I think that this proposal is a design to skirt the law where Congress creates wilderness and creates these areas that ought to be protected, and because they can't get Congress to do it, they're trying to find some way to have some friendly administration to create a monument that otherwise would not happen.
Scott Groney with the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance agrees that Congress is unlikely to enact the proposal, but he argues the area deserves protection and the Antiquities Act offers a way to get the job done.
What we see is all these areas are controversial when they're first designated, and then you come back in 15 years and everyone pretty much agrees it's a good idea, except for a handful of politicians that use this as a re-election issue.
President Clinton used the Antiquities Act to create the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument in 1996, something that Governor Herbert says was an abuse of federal law. Governor Gary Herbert says he's concerned by a new study that links air pollution to an increased risk of autism. At his monthly news conference on KUED, he was asked whether the state's reliance on voluntary measures does enough to address air pollution. And Herbert said industry is also being asked to do its part, and it's not all voluntary.
We have regulations in place now. We're working with our Department of Environmental Quality, with our industry places, to say, what is the plan for you to reduce emissions over the next 12 months? So we're working very hand in glove with industry, commercial, business people, as well as what we can do as just the general populace out there.
The state recently turned its Utah Clean Air Partnership program over to a private, nonprofit group. Herbert says it does take time for people to change their habits, learn to drive less, and use public transit more. Governor Gary Herbert says he's glad to see the Utah legislature moving ahead with an investigation of Attorney General John Swallow. Swallow's facing a series of investigations over allegations that he was part of a bribery scheme and that he violated state election laws. Herbert told his monthly news conference on KUED the legislature has handled this well. He'll be glad to call them back into session if it'll help move things along.
I know there's some discussion on whether they can do it without me calling them into a special session. Under the auspices of impeachment, they can call themselves into special session. The question is, does this investigation reach that level? And there is some uncertainty on that. But I can tell you, it's a moot point for me. If they need to have a special session to create this investigative committee, I'm more than happy to call them into special session.
Herbert says the Attorney General's troubles aren't going to interfere with the normal operations of state government. He says there are a lot of good people working in the AG's office, and they appear to be getting the job done.
Governor Herbert is seeking nominations for the District 6 state school board seat. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
The district includes areas of West Jordan, Taylorsville, Kearns, and West Valley City. Joel Coleman resigned the seat to serve as superintendent of the Utah Schools for the Deaf and the Blind. In a typical state school board election, the governor selects a nominating and recruiting committee every 2 years to vet potential candidates. The committee forwards a handful of names to the governor, who then narrows the list down to two candidates from each district whose names will go on the ballot. In this case, where a state school board member has resigned, the governor directly appoints a nominee to the seat following an interview process. The deadline to apply is June 21, 2013. Those interested should submit a resume to Sherilyn Bradford at cbradford@utah.gov with the words "Nomination to District 6" in the subject line. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
Salt Lake County officials are urging residents to take steps to avoid a repeat of last year's fire season. Salt Lake County Mayor Ben McAdams joined the Unified Fire Department to outline regulations and recommendations for keeping fires at bay.
I encourage, first of all residents to look around their property and clear out any vegetation and flammable materials to create a defensible space around your yards. Keep your roofs clear of debris, place screens over vent openings and beneath decks, and ensure there's easy access to fire hydrants.
Unified Fire Marshal Stephen Higgs says the conditions this year are about the same as last year, dry and hot with low humidity and heavy winds.
We've had already, I believe, three substantial fires in the state of Utah. We're aware of what's happened in Colorado over the past 2 weeks. New Mexico, Arizona, California, the West is burning, and it's fairly early in the fire season.
Higgs says the same restrictions are in place this year as last. Fireworks are banned in many areas of the county, and aerial fireworks have to be kept at least 300 feet from those no fireworks zones. An interactive map showing the restrictions on campfires, smoking, fireworks, and shooting in the unincorporated areas of Salt Lake County is available online at unifiedfire.org.
U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius announced Thursday that about 140,000 Utahns will be receiving a rebate this year from their health insurance company. KUER's Andrea Smartin reports.
Utah residents will benefit from more than $4.5 million in rebates from insurance companies this summer, averaging $85 per family. The rebates are a result of the Federal Affordable Care Act's medical loss ratio standard, known as the 80-20 rule. It requires insurers to spend at least 80 cents of every premium dollar on patient care and quality improvement. If they spend an excessive amount on profits and red tape, they owe rebates back for the difference by August 1st. Insurance companies that do not meet the 80-20 standard will send consumers a notice that they're eligible for the rebate. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
Members of St. James Catholic Church in Ogden held a special service last night to bless their building after a parishioner was shot there last Sunday. James Evans is improving at McKay D. Hospital. The man accused of shooting him, Ricky Jennings, remains in jail with his bail set at $105,000. One person died and several more were injured in a collision between a motorboat and a houseboat on Lake Powell yesterday. Two people are still missing in the accident near Dangling Rope Marina. The Deseret News reports two people were injured badly enough to be flown to a hospital in Flagstaff. Another was taken to the hospital in Page. 30 members of Congress sent a letter to Interior Secretary Sally Jewell asking her about a new study on the management of wild horses in the West. In her response, Jewell says that the department is looking at additional opportunities for population control. The lawmakers say the program and its spiraling budget have created an unattainable situation for both the Mustangs and taxpayers. Dari the African elephant at Hogle Zoo turns 53 tomorrow. That makes her the oldest African elephant in North America. The zoo staff plans to give her a birthday cake made of protein pellets, fruit and vegetables with mashed potato frosting.
It's looking like a wonderful weekend at the Utah Arts Festival with Dan Nalen. Looking forward to some of the late evening performances. And if you want to get there in a good mood, he recommends taking tracks and not trying to park downtown.
To me, it's one of the highlights of the summer every year. And, you know, every year it's for a different reason. Some years I discover some awesome visual arts, actually buy a painting or two to put on the walls of my house. Other years, there's some great food. Crooked Line Brewery makes special beers.
Oh, this that's year, where I tasted alligator for the first time.
There, at the Arts Festival. There you go. So you can expand your horizons in many ways. This year, for me, it's all about the music. They have an amazing lineup. And for me, the name that immediately jumped out is Jason Isbell. For people who don't know, a former drive-by trucker headlining on Sunday night. Isbell recently has gotten a lot of national media attention. New York Times Magazine story, NPR All Things Considered did a story. His new album is called Southeastern, and it's the first one since he sort of went into rehab, kicked his boozing habit. He got married to Amanda Shires, a great singer-songwriter in her own right and violinist. Hopefully she'll be with him in the band. This guy's come around a few times over the past few years. This new album, though, it's definitely, I think, the best of his four solo albums that he's made. He's headlining Sunday night at 9:45, so he's literally like the last slot available, playing right after Ryan Innes, our local guy who did pretty well on the Voice TV show recently. So there should be a crowd out there at the amphitheater stage.
Probably won't be as hot, won't be as crowded.
That's right. That's always kind of nice. I like when it's a late night show, and there's great music throughout. I mean, the festival's off and running already, and on Friday night, E La Bamba are playing at the same time, 9:45 on the festival stage. They're sort of a world folk band out of Portland. Great stuff. The Steel Drivers, great bluegrass band. Again, 9:45 at night. That's on Saturday night. So the late night music offerings are great. And there's a bunch of stuff through the day as well. Local bands dotting the whole lineup. Really good stuff. A really good chance to catch up on what's happening locally, too.
But take the train. Don't try to park.
That's right. Take the train and, you know, enjoy a long day. Wear sunscreen, people. Wear sunscreen.
Dan Nalen reports on entertainment for KUER and blogs at slcene.com.
And that is your KUER News Pod for Friday, June 21st. For the latest news and updates from around the state, visit us online at KUER.org or follow us on Twitter at KUER News. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.